You're listening to the Strongpreneur Nation podcast with your host, Tom Reber.
I'm excited today to dig right in with my guest, Ryan Stewart. He is a marketer, he's a speaker, consultant, experienced designer, SEO stud. That's how I came to know who he was and reached out to him when I was reading some of his stuff. In fact, before we got on the call today and hit record, I told Ryan, I said, man, you favorited a tweet of mine, and the next thing I know, I'm on your website for over an hour. And I've been checking out your stuff, reading your content. So Ryan, welcome to the Strongpreneur Nation podcast. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you're Ryan is down in sunny Miami, Florida.
Yes, sir.
It's what's the date? December 4th. What's the weather down there today?
It's actually, you know, it's not a great day. It rained a little bit today.
Man, but I'm so sorry.
it's about 77 degrees today, a little bit humid, but other than that, it's typical Miami winter day, you know.
Are you guys going to be okay though? I mean,
we'll get through it. Yeah.
Right, man, you know, persevere. That's funny. So So one of the reasons, Ryan, I wanted to bring you on, and I thought you'd be a good fit for my audience, is you're a pretty authentic, straight shooting guy.
Sure.
That's the sense I got from following you and checking your stuff out, watching your videos, and sounds like you've had some experiences that a lot of my audience here can relate to, with starting a business, having some struggles, having to start again. Some things like that. And I'd just love if you could just take the first, you know, couple minutes or whatever, tell us a little bit about your story, who you are, what you're after, and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently I run a digital marketing agency based here out of Miami, small operation, boutique, probably planning to stay pretty small. You know, I like being able to still get my hands dirty with client campaigns. But as you kind of touched on, I think it's on my about page, you know, while I'm experiencing good success now and steady growth, it wasn't like that. You know, I actually got my start in, you know, I played football in college and I graduated in 2009 when the economy was really, really bad. Not a lot of work out there. I got very fortunate to get a job with a great small consulting firm, got some great experience. But, you know, I think kind of like all kind of entrepreneurs, after a while, you just realize you're just kind of working to live, and it's just not, you know, I wasn't passionate about what I was doing. So I branched off on my own, started doing some consulting, and actually teamed up with somebody to start a small marketing agency. And, you know, it was just an utter failure in the sense that, you know, I lost a lot of money and I lost a lot of time. Really bad partnership, just really toxic partnership. We just didn't see eye to eye on anything. You know, I'm very customer focused. I'm very, again, like you said, authentic. You know, I believe in having my own voice. You know, I think part of being an entrepreneur is not to fit inside the box. It's to build your own brand and really have the opportunity to be who you are. And I mean, wake up every day and do what you love, right? So, you know, I didn't want to be put into a box. I didn't want to be, you know, to follow the same templates other people were following. I think that in today's world, we're so blessed with the opportunity to blaze our own trails. And because we can, you know, especially when I do, you know, I don't have to service local clients per se. I can work with anybody as long as we connect. So the ability to kind of connect on that one-to-one level. And, you know, it's you know, flash forwarding now to where I am. It's a truly amazing experience because, you know, not to sound cliche, but I'm friends with my clients because they found me because, you know, through the content marketing I've done, similar to how you found, and they were like, man, this kid, he's a little bit different. I can resonate with him. You know, he seems like a real guy. He seems like a straight shooter. You know, I'm not going to wear a suit every day. I'm covered head to toe in tattoos, but I still do a very good job. I'm a good marketer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of butting heads with partners in the past actually happened twice. I hit, I don't want to say a low point, but, you know, I hit that point. I think a lot of entrepreneurs hit where you fail. And I could have gone back to kind of the corporate 9-to-5 job, but I pushed through it. And with a lot of hard work, I can't really stress that enough, you know, working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, but finding the right direction. And then once finding that direction, just keep on plowing forward. You know, I'm able to wake up every day and run my business the way that I want to. And honestly, I've never been happier in my whole life. So it's that's kind of where I'm at and how I got here in a very quick nutshell.
Well, that's good stuff, man. And so I know you've had some, you know, pretty obviously you've put the work in behind the scenes here, but you've had some pretty quick success building your brand. I mean, you're a contributor and things like that on Moz and Search Engine Journal and Kiss Metrics mm-hmm. and some things like that. And so not only are you working your tail off, but you're certainly adding value if you're being, you know, profiled sure. places like that. So man, hats off to you. You mind if we just kind of dig in and talk about SEO? Cause I'm not an SEO guy.
Please.
You know, I'm a coach, speaker, all that good stuff. You know, I deal with people every day, and the topic of websites and content and SEO is a frequent one in my conversations. And I just kind of want to share and ask you some things that people ask me all the time, and I see a lot of confusion. And in fact, before we hit record, we were joking about how you want to really stir the hornet's nest, just post an opinion about SEO on Facebook, right? So,
yeah.
I guess right out of the gate, how does an entrepreneur know what to spend their money on online?
Yeah, that's
what comes to mind.
You know, just kind of backing up a little bit, I'm a firm believer in value-based marketing. And what I mean by that is knowing who your audience is, knowing who your customer is, and finding a way to add value to them. You know, for me, it's been content. It's been creating a tremendous amount of content, either on my blog, videos, you know, even through social and guest blogging too, like writing for Moz, Search Engine Journal, things like that. I've had a tremendous amount of success creating value through content. I think the most important thing that any business owner can do is sit down and really do an in-depth audience and customer profile, you know, find out who they are, where they hang out, what they like to do online, and then kind of reverse engineer the best way to reach them. And you know, a lot of people just are ecstatic about SEO because they think it's free traffic and, mm-hmm. You know, recurring great traffic, this and that. But the fact is even in the 5 short years that I've been, you know, a quote unquote SEO expert, I see diminishing value in the channel because the way that we behave online is changing, right? It's not just about going to Google and typing in, I want to buy a black pair of shoes, and then they make that purchase. We all know that's not the way it works. It doesn't happen like that. It's a very long drawn out process of the, you know, the customer journey online, and how they actually arrive at that decision to purchase. So I think as a small business owner with limited funds, it's extremely important to understand what that path to conversion is and where you can add the most value to your customer. Mm-hmm. And while search traffic is incredible, you know, it's still, in my opinion, even regardless of what I just said, it's a very powerful channel, probably the most powerful channel. It's not free. Yeah. Even if you are an SEO expert, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into maintaining that presence, creating the content, building the links. So the thought process of, oh, you know, I want free recurring traffic. You're either going to pay someone a lot of money to do it, probably too much money, to be honest with you, or you're going to have to do it yourself. And it's just a tremendous amount of work. So, you know, again, understanding if your customer is even using search to find you, they might be on social, they might be, you know, using YouTube. You know, if you have several hair clips, you know, they're probably using, you know, YouTube to find out how to braid their hair better, right? So, I mean, just understanding really who your customer is and where they're spending their time can really help you identify how best to spend your money.
That's good stuff. You know, you brought up content a couple times there, and, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I know what you're going to say right now. I was going to ask you, do you think it's possible? Well, no, actually I shouldn't. I'm not going to assume anything. I'm just going to ask you a question. Here we go. I'm not going to assume. Do you think it's, can a local based business, you know, like, you know, a lot of my listeners here are contractors. They're, they own gyms, you know, small local based businesses, can they be successful online without creating regular content?
Oh, I mean, yes. So that was me assuming what you were going to ask.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. You know, there's the internet is so deep. There's so many ways to have success online, but really anything in it, like it depends how you define content, right? If you define content as a blog, then yeah, you can have success without having a blog,
right.
You know, but really content is just, I view content almost as equivalent of a brand. To me, it's how you portray yourself online. Social media is a form of content. Your website is a form of content. The copy that you put on a page is content. The message that you're portraying to customers is a form of content, right? So like to me, the answer is almost, you know, I know I said yes, but it's almost no. I mean, content is incredibly important because it's everything that you do, right? I mean, even if you're just paying for like pay-per-click ads, you know, pay-per-call ads, which are tremendously effective for all service-based businesses and probably the number one thing you would invest in if you're doing lead gen especially, that's still a form of content, right? I mean, even the ad copy, right, is a form of content. So, you know, depending on how you define it, no, I mean, content is just, it's to me, again, it's synonymous with your brand.
Yeah.
And it's so deep and it runs, you know, so vast with the levels and forms of content. And, you know, the question that I thought you were going to ask was something about, you know, how can small businesses have success with content? Like, you know, I actually just got off a consulting call with somebody that was asking me, you know, they, perfect example, they fix pool leaks, right? So if you have a leaky pool, they'll come and they'll fix it. And, you know, everyone these days is like, you know, I Google loves fresh content. How can I create content in something that's not, you know, about like BuzzFeed type content?
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple. I mean, what I like to do, it's the same thing with what I do. I tell you exactly how I do my service. And I do it in a way that communicates who I am. It communicates the level of detail that we go into. And generally what happens is that people are like, and I can't do this myself. Let me just call this kid. He obviously knows what he's talking about. Let me call him and have him do it for us. So, you know, that form of value of literally pulling back the veil and saying, this is how to test if you have a pool leak. That's one blog post, right? Like, you know, or a video post, how to determine. And not to mention too, then you're capturing search traffic, right? People are actively searching for, you know, before they pick up the phone and call you for fix my pool leak, it's, do I have a pool leak, right? So, I mean, capturing that search traffic one step ahead of time, you're already getting them in your funnel. And, you know, you can hit them with remarketing after that if you want to get advanced with it. But, you know, getting them into your funnel ahead of time, building that brand awareness, building that value that, you know, when the time comes for them to hire somebody to fix your pool leak, they're going to call you. So, again, going back to the value, going back to the content, there's, you know, for service-based businesses especially, you opened a business because you should be the best at that service. Show us.
Yeah. And I, you know, what the example you're giving about, you know, how do I know if I have a pool leak and things like that, you know, by creating, whether it's a video or a blog post or something that's addressing that,
sure,
you're differentiating from all the other guys that, you know, won't create that content.
Yeah.
And, you're letting people peek behind the curtain a little bit and see what you're about and they get a feel for you and, hey, he's a likable guy. I'll give him a call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could see that doing that. So what are your, what are your thoughts? And I'm going to ask you this question, then I'm going to give you my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
which is really wrong, but because you're the one I'm interviewing, but I'm willing to be changed. Okay. I'm willing to be, if I'm way off, I'm willing to be like schooled here. So
sure.
That's why I'm saying that I'm going to give you my thoughts. What are your thoughts on third party lead generation sites and directories? Okay. And so here's my take.
Sure.
I would much rather a local business focus on building a great high converting website with good content and all that stuff on their own and you know, putting out their voice, you know, through blogging and video and social media and whatever it is. I'd rather them have that in place before they start going to these third party sites, because what I see is you click a link on a third party lead gen site that takes you back to somebody's website and it's like you're going back to the ghetto.
Yeah.
It's like you go off one site to a site that doesn't have anything to keep me there. And that's always been my opinion on that. I don't know if I'm off or not. So I'm super interested to hear your take on that.
I think you're better off setting your money on fire. seriously. I mean, it's an easy, like, to me, I know a lot of people that make a lot of money that do lead gen. They sell lead gen. Good for them. But they're great guys, right? But to me, it's just like it's a snake oil salesman business, because what they do, the way that they generate those leads for businesses, you know, they're called, I guess lead gen businesses, right? So, you know, you get an email from someone that says, hey, you know, we've got local contractor leads for people that come in fresh, phone call leads, pay us $200 a lead and we'll give them to you. The way that they generate those leads is very shady, and you lose complete control of your brand. You lose complete control. I mean, you have no idea how they got that lead, right? I mean, for the most part, they're sending out mass emails just saying with like some sort of bad offer that's getting them to opt in, and then they're selling it to you. And pretty much, I don't know if you've ever bought a lead and actually called one, because yep. I have. What happens is 9 times out of 10, they're like, how did you get my number? Like, who are you? How did you get my number? And, it's a shady business, man. And again, like, you want to call people that want to work with you, right? I mean, it's about value. Why would you want to call someone that doesn't know who you are? I mean, you're better off cold calling, which is honestly, it's a better method because you have complete control of the conversation in the funnel. Whereas again, you know, if you're buying a lead from someone, you don't know the value proposition they gave that lead. You don't know the landing page. You don't know what they told them to their information. So,
and so many of these small business owners, entrepreneurs, I get why they do this. You know, I in my past life as a contractor, I used some of these services and I got some work off them. So, but one of the reasons I did it is at the end of the day, I want my phone to ring with business.
Yeah.
And I'm busy. I'm doing a lot of things in the business. I don't know what else to do. So what alternatives does a guy like that have?
Yeah. So
other than setting his money on fire.
So, I mean, so let's just say that we'll say you have a $500 a month budget. I can work with that. Let's say you're spending $500 a month on leads. Mm-hmm. Let's take that and spend it on inbound marketing. What I would do is, you know, first of all, understand that good marketing to inbound marketing takes time. What I would do if I were you, I would invest in a good website. I would hire someone to build a great website, content rich, custom images, you know, get a photographer out off Groupon for $50, have them come take pictures of you, take pictures of your team, having that really personal feel, especially in like a business like contracting, whenever you're selling a very high value service, mm-hmm. to me, that personal touch is incredibly important. I mean, attorneys, real estate, SEO, whatever you're selling that has a very high retainer value, having your face on there and having that personal connection to me is very important. So, you know, that again, that's a form of content. Make sure that you have a content rich site, something that differentiates you. Then I would just invest in pay-per-click ads. I mean, if you set aside $500 a month to set up some pay-per-click ads, get some traffic to your website. And again, if people don't know, pay-per-click ads are just Google AdWords. It's when people Google, Miami roof contractor, you get your ad to show up right away. And they've even got call only ads. So if you want your phone to ring, these are mobile only ads. They just, you know, Google Miami roof contractor, your number pops up, they call you. Then from there, it's just a matter of closing them. So that's what I would do personally. And then once you start getting some revenue in, investing in some SEO, some content, some social, and just kind of building that brand. So, you know, I like to kind of use paid traffic to growth hack the revenue process. And then once you've got some budget to throw around, you invest in the organic, you invest in the content, you start building a true brand. And even, you know, doing some stuff offline too, right? I mean, doing what you can to build yourself in the community is incredibly important. So if you combine the online stuff with what you should be doing, what, you know, most contractor types are good at doing is, you know, networking. I don't want to say it's easy, but that's the blueprint that I would definitely follow.
So Ryan, you saying pay-per-click ads, surprised me. And the reason it surprised me is I can count on 2 fingers the number of people I know that have had success with it.
Really?
In multiple industries. Yeah, it just surprised me. So I don't know if so I'll give you an example. You know, one of my old companies years ago, we did it, had no success, but I look back on it and I go, well, the reason we didn't have any success is we didn't define who our ideal client was.
Yeah.
We didn't speak to the pain. And when they clicked the button, they went to a crappy site that they didn't know what to do. So yeah. I can look at that, but I, and again, I'm not saying that I don't believe you. I'm just saying it surprised me because I've not seen a lot of people have success with it. So I'm curious what some of those keys to succeeding with the paid ad stuff would be in your
experience. So it's funny. I mean, I've actually, you know, as I thought you were going to say, you're surprised that I said that, because as an SEO expert, I would be saying like, oh, do SEO.
Right.
But no, actually every single lead gen or service-based client that I have, they come to me for SEO, but I tell them we're going to start with pay-per-click, for a number of reasons. Number one, I think a lot of people don't have success with it because they don't invest enough in the cost of traffic. Like, they're expensive. You're going to be paying a lot per click, and, you know, getting into some data analysis and stuff, you have to hit statistical relevancy, right? I mean, you've got to hit a certain number of clicks to build out that funnel. And again, I mean, it's one of those things too, whereas if you land one of those leads, I mean, we're talking about 10,000 plus in revenue, right?
Sure.
Potentially. Yes. So the more that you charge on the back end, the more you have to be willing to invest on the front end. So I think what a lot of people do is a number of things. Number one, like you said, well, first of all, they don't hire an expert, right? I mean, pay-per-click ads are a science. I don't even know how to do them. I have a team, you know, I have a full-time guy. He's my head of paid search, and he does all of it for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just reports on me on the date of the calls and stuff like that. And I talk to the client about it. It's a science in itself. So, I mean, number one is find someone that knows how to do them, get somebody that's AdWords certified, you know, hire an agency if you have to. So, you know, a lot of people try and do them themselves. And, you know, again, this pool link guy, he does pay-per-click ads, and I'm doing an AdWords audit for him. And just looking at what he was trying to do, he was spending $1,500 a month and he was getting no results because of what you just said. He was targeting the wrong keywords. He wasn't setting up any negative keywords, right? So, I mean, you have to pay close attention to the data. Any clicks that don't convert, you cross them off the list. So it's a continuous testing and weaning process. You know, you want to make sure you're sending to a relevant landing page. You want to make sure your copy's right. So, again, I mean, it's building out the funnel that a lot of people don't invest enough time and resources in. And but just like you said, I mean, that happens. They dip their toes in. They're like, you know, we tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But another trap that people fall into is they think because, you know, your phone might start ringing on day one because your ads are live, that the process is done. I mean, PPC ads really take a good 45 to 70 days of constant testing to really dial in on what you've done. So, I mean, for an example for us, I mean, I have never not once not seen a client get a positive ROI on their pay-per-click spend with us. And I've done it for hundreds of clients, you know? So, it's especially, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I get 2 to 3 inquiries for SEO a day from people that, attorneys, you know, real estate agents. And I'm like, you know, SEO is not the right way to go for you because it's just too competitive. Buy some traffic, let's get some revenue going. And then, you know, 2 to 3 months from now, we'll start optimizing for organic, but, you know,
So if I'm, I've heard in the past that if I'm giving money to Google, I'm somehow going to get a little more love back organically. Is that true?
Absolutely not.
Did you say no?
No.
Hear you. Okay.
No, definitely not. No.
So when that client, that attorney calls you and says, I want SEO, and you say, no, that's not right for me. You need to do PPC. What are the main differences, you know, for the person that knows absolutely nothing about those two terms?
Yeah. So, just on a high level. So and you know, whenever you Google something, there's a couple of results that show up. There's the paid results, which are Google pay-per-click ads. Those are the ones with the little yellow ad tag to the right of them. Mm-hmm. Those show up on top. Then there is the organic listings, which show up underneath. So pay-per-click ads, they show up for the ads. The organic stuff, the SEO stuff, shows up underneath. That's the organic results. The process of getting those two to show up are night and day.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, Google AdWords are run through Google. So there's tons of training. There's even certifications to get AdWords certified. SEO, and again, this ties back to your initial comment that you made about making a comment in a forum. SEO is the wild, wild west. Google gives little to no advice on how to rank in organic search because they don't want people just spamming their algorithm. So, you know, SEO, which is why it has such a massively strong following because it's so hard and competitive, you know, it's about testing. It's about going out and figuring out what works. You know, there's definitely a pretty strong guidelines of what works. I mean, if you read my blog, you can probably figure it out. But, you know, still, I mean, the only way to really find out how to rank a website is to actually do it. So, and you know, just getting into the SEO process, it's incredibly in-depth, incredibly long, incredibly detailed. And it takes upwards of 6 months to really rank a competitive website in today's algorithm, doing everything the right way. Whereas with pay-per-click ads, I mean, literally day one, you can have your ads start showing up. But again, I mean, you're paying every time somebody clicks on your ad. And if you're an attorney, you could be paying upwards of $120 per click. If you're a contractor, same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because the cost of that traffic is so valuable, it's just an open marketplace, right? You know, it's just supply and demand. So the more people that are bidding on those keywords, the more value that keyword has, the higher the cost per click is going to be. So, you know, you could be paying $1,000 before somebody calls you, or sometimes more. So you can spend a lot of money very quickly with pay-per-click ads, but at the same time, you're getting results on day one, whereas with SEO, you could pay an agency $10,000 before you start to see anything. So, yeah.
So, take your average small business owner. She's trying to get the phone ring. She's trying to grow her business. She knows she should be doing things online. Every time she hops online, there's options of people like you. She goes to local business networking events, and there's a dude there who does web marketing and SEO and all this other stuff. How do you know how to choose somebody?
It's a great question. It's funny because I, my team, we're currently working out of a co-working office right now. And the owner of the co-working office just came up to me before I got on this call, actually. And he was like, yeah, you know, he's like, I just got my fifth spam phone call of the week from an SEO expert trying to sell me SEO. And it's crazy how shady this industry has gotten. And it's really a shame because it's such an important and impactful service when done right. But again, because there's such low barriers to entry in terms of being an SEO, you don't need a college education. You don't need a Google certification. You can really just, you know, tell anyone that you do SEO and you can build a business on it, right? I know a lot of people that have done that, especially in the past when it was a lot easier to rank websites. So, I mean, the best way to really vet an SEO agency is, number one, go to their website. I mean, check out what they're talking about. Do they have a blog? I mean, even if you don't know anything about SEO, I mean, you, not to be arrogant, but you can go to my blog and understand that I know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, I have 100 plus comments, 300 plus social shares. Like it's good content, right? I mean, that's number one. Number two, always look for some sort of testimonial, case study, and not just like a written testimonial from, you know, Joe C over at, you know, Corner Auto, you know, that, cause yeah, it's clearly fake. I mean, video, I only put video testimonials on my site. And with that video, even with that video testimonial, you know, I have the business owner, I have a link to their website. I have screenshot data showing the increases in traffic, their keyword ranking, stuff like that. I mean, really, really, really look for social proof. It's incredibly important. And, you know, if you get to the point of asking for a proposal, which you always should, really make sure that they are telling you what is included in that cost, because especially with small business marketing, they'll be like, $500 a month is usually pretty standard. I don't do a lot of small marketing anymore, but $500 a month is pretty standard for like small business SEO. Ask what's included in that $500, because I know for a fact most agencies are just like pricing it off the market. You know, as I've grown and gotten bigger, I understand that, you know, all of our pricing is based off an hourly rate that's based off of my team's time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I send a proposal, I'm extremely aware of the fact that if I want to charge you $5,000 a month, I need to tell you exactly what's going into that $5,000. So, you know, ask what's going into that retainer fee, and ask for references. Finally, just make sure that they've got at least one business that can vouch for them. But also, you know, keep in mind that, because, you know, we're all entrepreneurs here, that we're all trying to grow a business. You know, sometimes that going with the smaller company, even like ourselves, you get a little bit more attention, you get a little bit more hustle, you get a little bit more value for your dollar than going with that kind of grind them out big agency that's got 500 testimonials, right? But
yeah.
So, you know, do what's right for you. Make sure you connect with the person that you're talking to. And again, I would always ask for references. You don't have to contact them, but I feel like just getting a phone number and a face to associate that phone number with, in terms of a reference is incredibly important. And it shows that, you know, they've done good work in the past. So make sure you check up on that stuff.
Cool. So let me ask you this. I open up my Google Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And I know enough to be dangerous about this world. And I pull it up. And there's a bunch of stuff on here that I have no idea what it means. And so for the guy like me, are there any metrics on here that you would say are like the most important ones?
Yeah. So are we talking about if we're looking for organic or just kind of in general?
Either. Whatever comes to mind for you.
Okay. So I'll tell you one report. So, excuse me, analytics is a huge part of digital. I actually got my start in analytics. That was what I used to do consulting in. So I'm very well versed in it. Mm-hmm. It's the lifeblood of any business. I firmly believe that data and analytics is more powerful than any marketing tactic because, it tells you what to do. It tells you what's working if you're doing it the right way. Now I realize that for this audience, small business owners, every small business I've ever worked with doesn't even want me to show them reports from analytics because it's mind-numbingly painful. So if you're interested, I suggest that you stick to one report that gives you all the data that you pretty much need. And that report, if anyone's got a pen out there, it's when you log into Google Analytics and you're in the reporting suite. Make sure that your dates are set in the upper right hand corner. So if you're looking, you know, for the last week, the last month, the last year, just make sure those dates are set for the data that you want to analyze. And then just navigate to acquisition, then all traffic, and then
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. And then source/medium.
Okay.
So what this report tells you, it tells you over the time period that you've selected, it tells you exactly where your traffic source is coming from, right? So this is incredibly important. It tells you, you know, how much traffic you're getting from Google, from Facebook, from Quora, from referral traffic, all that stuff. It's and then it has the amount of traffic. It's got the bounce rate, which is, well, we don't need to go into that, but pages per session, time on site. And then if you've got them set up, it's got conversions in there too. So this, to me, is the most powerful report. It's the easiest one to understand. It's kind of a quick litmus test, mm-hmm. That can tell you a lot of information in a very, very short period of time. This is one of that one. I there's some filters you can add onto it to make it more powerful. But I think for this audience, again, this is the one report that you could look at on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And really understand what's going on with your site.
So my top three sources here, mm-hmm. 28% is direct/none. 27% is Google organic. And then the next one down is Facebook.
Yep.
So what's direct/none mean?
I've actually got a great blog post on my blog about this. If you're interested in,
we'll post it in the show notes. Yeah.
But so direct traffic, if you want me to get pretty technical here, it's a number of things. It's very rarely what you think. It's very rarely people that are actually going directly to your website.
Like typing in your company name. And
very rare. Oh, that doesn't happen anymore. What people do instead is they'll type in strongpreneur and spell it wrong, right? So what happens is they get redirected to Google and then they find it through Google. So it actually shows up as organic traffic. So what direct is kind of confusing here. Don't want to, talk too technical, but it's pretty much when Google Analytics cannot understand where that traffic is coming from. So a lot of times what happens, it's not an exact science here. Google Analytics is still very much in its infancy in analytics in general. Sometimes, for example, if you're on a mobile phone and you're browsing Facebook and, you click on a link from Facebook and sometimes it's what's called a link skip. It'll actually skip over the referral SID, which is tracking ID. When it goes to your site, Google just doesn't understand where it's coming from. So pretty much for the most part, what that is, is traffic. A lot of it is coming from like social media. A lot of it's coming from referral websites that it's just not picking up. It might, the site now might not be, you know, registered with Google Analytics. It might be, have some sort of block on it. So it's good traffic. It always performs well, but there's literally dozens of things. And again, if you're really interested, I'll send you that blog post and you can read all about it.
Yeah, I'll definitely put it in the show notes for this. And so I just went back to August. So August 1st through today. And I've got the same top three, about the same percentages. So I was just curious. Dude, this is cool. I feel like you're coaching me here. I love it. you are. This is cool. So let me ask you just a few more things, and we'll start bringing this home. What are some maybe, I don't know, couple things that come to mind as monthly to-dos that a small business owner can do, you know, to get more exposure or more leads online if they're a company that's struggling with lead flow right now, other than the paid stuff?
Yeah. So what I would say is this, I would say it's lead gen is tough from like, as much as I'm a fan of social media and think every single company should be at least having a presence there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a good source of leads for small local businesses. It's just not. I would say the best, aside from doing some form of paid traffic, the best thing that you can do is to create very targeted blog content. So again, you know, if you're this pool and leak guy, you know, it would be like, you know, I don't know, this is going to be a bad example, don't hold me to this, but like top things Miami pool owners can do to see if their pool has a leak or something. I don't know, something like that, right? Because what it does is it targets local traffic, and it's going to capture that search traffic. And then what you can do with that content, just kind of in a nutshell. So SEO, it's really, if you really break down SEO, it's really easy. Number one, it's creating something of value that your audience is searching for, right? So if you want to show up in search, people have to be searching for it. So there's some tools you can use, free tools, to find out what people are searching for. You just create web content around that, right? So make your pages around what people are searching for. Pretty easy, right? Number two is going out and promoting that content, because Google looks at ranking like it's a popularity contest. And the votes that they count are, number one, coming from social. You know, if your links are being passed through social media, that shows Google that you're popular, right? I mean, 90% of the non-porn internet is social media now. So, you know, if your website is not being passed through those channels, it's tough to make the argument that your website is popular, right? Okay. Number two is links from other websites. So again, Google counts links from other websites as votes. So, you know, if I have a website about pools and a blogger or, you know, the Miami New Times writes an article and links to that website, that link is very powerful. That link is ultimately what will end up ranking a website in combination with the two previous things that I mentioned. So things that you can do are, number one, create that targeted blog content, find what people are searching for and create that content. Number two, figure out a way to promote it on social media, get active in some groups, get active in some forums, you know, build a real presence. Don't just spam it. And then, you know, you can ultimately drop some links and promote some content in there. And if you're actually creating good and helpful content, it's not spammy. And then finally, figure out a way to get mentioned on other people's sites. And the way that I do that is outreach or guest posting. So like the reason I'm on Moz and Search Engine Journal is not because they're featuring me there. It's because I'm contacting them incessantly, and busting my ass to create content for them or to find a way to convince them that my content is worthy of a mention. And that, and again, that's, I know it's a lot of work. It's a tremendous amount of work for a small business owner. But, if you can do that, then you'll be in very, very good shape. You're going to rank for whatever you want.
That's good stuff. So really the actual social media stuff that you do, that you post, is, just so I understand, really, is not really doing much for you for SEO and organic stuff, but it's when it's shared and things like that is when Google takes notice.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want to promote it from your own channels, yeah. But you know, if nobody's liking and sharing your stuff or clicking on the links that you post, then it's not hard for Google to tell that it's just you promoting it. So again, I mean, mm-hmm. it's important to do it. And, you know, honestly, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I actually source, we're having this conversation because of social media.
Yeah.
You know, social is incredibly important. Don't just think that you're limited to your, even if you're a local service provider, do not think that you're just limited to your zip code. There are so many opportunities out there that are not directly related to selling that will help you ultimately sell more. You know, again, just this having this podcast, this is a valuable piece of content for me to go out. And once it's on the web, someone might find this. You know, you've got a local business owner that listens to it. He might ultimately call me up and want to work with me, right? So, you know, it's not always about, and this is, I think, something that a lot of small business owners struggle with. And I get it as a small business owner myself. You know, at the end of the day, it's about making money and it's about making sure that my team is getting paid and yep. taking care of my people, yep. but also understanding that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And there are so many touch points along the way that you have to be mindful of. And, you know, it's just like doing your networking offline, you know, going to those BNI or Chamber of Commerce events that suck that, you know, you spend hours there but you understand that's part of the process. This is the world that we live in today. There's no getting, and again, this is, I should just spoke to somebody about this. This is a 2-second rant, but you know, regardless of how you feel about how we're changing as human beings, about how your kid is always on their phone, Snapchatting their life away, mm-hmm. there is nothing that we can do about it. It is only going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know, it personal feelings aside about how it's just kind of ruining us as human beings, from a business owner's point of view, you have to embrace it. You absolutely have to embrace it,
yeah.
and you have to do it. Otherwise, you're not going to be relevant for very long.
Those teenagers are getting older, and they're going to get jobs and start businesses and have money to spend
a lot sooner than you think.
You know, I have three kids, and you know, my boys are 15 and my daughter's 10, and I get annoyed. I mean, I certainly get annoyed with the lack of human interaction and connection,
yeah.
and things like that. But then I stepped back. It was a couple of years ago. I stepped back and I was like, they don't know a world where things are not instantly downloadable.
Yeah.
They do not know a world like that. So this is their normal, just like me playing baseball outside in the neighborhood was my normal.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
it sucks, man. I mean, it does. I get it because, you know, the baby boomer generation, especially, you know, they just grew up in a very different time. You know, I'm 29 years old, so I kind of see both sides of the fence, right? I mean, like, I hit high school when cell phones, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, that was when everyone was starting to get cell phones. So I grew up again, I was an athlete growing up, man. I was a scholarship football player. Like, I totally see both sides of the coin, which I think is why I'm able to be successful right now, because I understand how to relate to the younger generation, but I also understand how to speak to the people that ultimately control purchasing for the time being, right? Which is
right.
still the older generation. But it's very frustrating because, you know, again, you have to separate business from personal. I think it's an absolute tragedy what's happening to us as human beings. I mean, in 10 years, I really think that cell phones are going to be like embedded in people's arms, truly. I mean, we're changing, we're becoming robots. It's very, very sad. Do not get me wrong. That's my personal standpoint on it. But from a business standpoint on it, I mean, it's opening incredible opportunities for us to make money as marketers or business owners. And you have to, like, you cannot let your personal feelings of what's happening stand in the way of what needs to be done. As bad as that sounds, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do to change it. It's only going to get 100 times worse and continue to accelerate with how quickly things change. You know, I honestly believe in 5 years from now, we're going to be like, do you remember that thing called Google? Like, I believe that's seriously, man. I think that, you know, refrigerators are going to be talking to us, right? I mean,
yeah.
we're not going to be, that's just the way that it's going to be. And it sounds kind of crazy right now, but it's already happening. Like, we're not going to be driving cars in 10 years from now, right? It's just the way that it is. So, you know, from the older generation's point of view, it's tough because this is the way business has been done for so long, but man, it's just not anymore. You know, it is what it is.
I get it, man. So, As I wrap this up, I got a couple more questions for you. Did I lose you or are you still there?
No, I just hit mute because I was scratching my face.
Oh, okay. I got you. Thank you. That, like my headset just went like really quiet all of a sudden. So, all right. So you got 1,000 entrepreneurs, small business owners in a room, and you got 3 to 5 minutes in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one thing that you're going to try to drive home that they walk away with?
Providing value. Honestly, like just kind of like the mini rant that I went on before that. I actually just read a really good article that you can link to underneath this too. It came out yesterday. It was on the Moz blog, and it was about building what's called a 10X brand. Okay. And we are, again, because of technology and because of the incredibly low barriers of entry to start a business right now, you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about all the time, how like, you know, 15 years ago, it wasn't cool to be an entrepreneur. Like you were a loser dropout, but now like everyone's an entrepreneur, right? Because shit, there's no jobs available, right? So I mean, like, what else are people doing? Like even law school's a bad idea right now, right? So, you know, everyone is becoming an entrepreneur, and you can't, because all you need is an internet connection. You can go to Starbucks, right, and start a business. So, you know, in order to differentiate yourself, you have to provide value. You have to provide so much value that you stand out. I mean, honestly, as a business owner, the fact that I'm taking an hour and a half gladly out of my day to do this podcast, I think speaks to how much value and emphasis I put on creating value and putting it out there on the internet. Because shit, my to-do list right now, Tom, I kid you not, is going out the door with how much stuff I have to do. But I see so much value in doing things like this that I gladly put everything on, including clients. I put them on hold to do this. That's how much I believe in creating and providing value. So, you know, I put an incredibly amount of important emphasis on creating value and creating more value than your competitors, and going out of your way to create that value and promote that value and do it consistently over and over and over. You know, try and build your own community, try and build anything that you can that equates to you being, you know, a quote unquote brand, because, you know, brand's not Best Buy anymore. A brand is, it's just something that people care about and something that people resonate with. So again, I mean, using the tools that you have available to us, you can do it. It's just a matter of working that much harder and putting emphasis on it. You know, and it's tough because I get it. You know, again, sales at the end of the day is what every business owner is focused with. But it's a long haul, man. And you've got to be mindful of the long game while you know, you focus on growing your business. But you know, ultimately, your business gets to that next level. Mm-hmm. By being better than your competition. And I truly believe that the way that we differentiate ourselves now is value. So, I mean, I would just talk all about providing value and how important that is.
Cool. Yeah. So last thing I have here is I have 5 promises that I ask people to take on my Strongpreneur pledge on strongpreneurnation.com. And I always like to ask my guests, which of those resonates with you the most and why?
Absolutely. I this wasn't even hard for me to pick. I'm actually curious to see which one you think that I would pick, if I can ask that.
I think you're going to say number 4. I will make no excuses.
No, I thought you would say that. No, I'm all about number 5. I really.
Oh, that was my second choice, man. Darn it.
and the reason that I think all of these are great. Honestly, yeah. They're all spot on, obviously. But no, number 5. I mean, it makes me think. Yeah, it's tough because, dude. I mean, running a business is incredibly stressful, man. I mean, especially when you know, when you start hiring people and. You know, I go to sleep every night and I think about making sure that my staff they rely on us. It's incredible, but they rely on us to live, right? I mean, not literally, but, you know, so it's a lot of pressure. But, you know, I look at it and it reminds me why I love this, man. I really do. Like, it takes a certain type of person, I think, to actually get some sort of enjoyment out of having that type of pressure. And again, maybe it's the athlete in me and this is the ridiculous competitive streak that I have. But I love that. And I really do. Again, I hate to like quote Gary Vee, but I truly do love the hustle too. I love the hard work. I enjoy building something. And just looking at that, and just for people who don't know, number five says, I will have fun. I will enjoy the ride and lighten up. It kind of makes me mindful of why I want to start a business, because, because I want to enjoy my life. You know, I want to have something that, I used to work a job. I didn't hate it, but I didn't want to go to work every day. I looked forward to the weekends. I loved the life that I was able to live because it paid well, but, you spend 40 hours a week doing something. That's a lot of your life. You want to enjoy it. So, and I think ultimately that's what drives all of us as, you know, entrepreneurs. So, I mean, definitely number five, man.
That's cool, man. And I guessed four because I know your story and I know the hours you've put in and the fact that you're just finding a way to get it done. So that's where I took my shot, man. But I totally see number five as well. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, man, before we go, first thing, I want to thank you for hanging out with us and adding massive value here. The second thing is I want to make sure that, anyone that's listening that wants to check you out and find you and all that, connect with you, knows how the best way to do it for you. So what do you want them to do?
There's a number of ways. I mean, you can check out my blog. It's webris.org/blog. That's my agency site. Twitter, I'm pretty active on Twitter. I haven't been lately because I've been busy, but that's Ryan Was Here on Twitter. Facebook, I'm actually very active. You can add me as a friend on Facebook. It's just Ryan Stewart SEO. And I've got a Facebook group that's incredibly, incredibly valuable. There's over 3,200 people in there now. Very, very valuable information passed in there. I'm very active in there. I've put a tremendous amount of emphasis on building a community. And that's where I chose to do it. So the group is called Digital Marketing Questions. It's on Facebook. If you use Facebook, I strongly suggest you check it out. There's tons of digital advice. I mean, not even from me anymore. There's just a lot of smart people in there that it's a great way if you have any questions about digital stuff as small business owners. You can get some very, very valuable free advice in there. So I strongly suggest you check that out.
Cool. I'll make sure that we link to all those in the notes here. And I encourage you all to check out Ryan and his stuff. It'll definitely help you with your business. So, Ryan, appreciate your time, man. Thanks again. And stay strong, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. All right, Strongpreneur Nation. So check it out. Hope you enjoyed today's interview with Ryan Stewart. Make sure you click the links in the show notes. Visit him, see what he's got going on. And also head over to strongpreneurnation.com and take the Strongpreneur Pledge, the five promises that we make as strongpreneurs to build stronger lives and businesses. And I guarantee you that if you are living those out, getting those things done that need to be done in your life and in your business, you're going to have a blast and enjoy the ride. And with that, we'll catch you guys next time. Travis, bring in the guitars, man. Hey, Strongpreneur Nation. If you like this episode of the Strongpreneur Nation podcast and you want to get more stuff to help you build a stronger life and a stronger business, to deal with the head trash, get back your time, build a kick butt brand, get more crap done, then I encourage you to join the Strongpreneur Nation Mastermind Group. It's a private, closed group on Facebook that I would love to have you be a part of, where we can talk about anything and everything to help you get stronger in what you're doing in your business. So head over to Facebook, type in the Strongpreneur Nation Mastermind Group, and request access, and we'll let you in after we teach you the secret handshake. All right, we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks.